Right, we are going to continue with our message, and today we are talking about truth and where it comes from. We're in a message series right now. We're talking about spiritual warfare, the fact that Satan is out there. He wants to get us, but the Lord is our defense. As we talk about spiritual warfare, you know, there is one big fact that we have to confront. As we're talking about spiritual warfare, we have to confront the fact that you and I, you know, we can't actually see the spiritual things which might attack us in this life. You know, there's no special goggles that we can put on, no glasses or something like that to let us see what Satan is up to. There's no telltale sign that we can look for in other people to see who has our best interest at heart and who does not. And this is one of the reasons why in this message series, our focus on spiritual warfare is not on you fighting Satan, because you can't. You can't even see him working most of the time. But our focus is on us trusting in Jesus. And so today what we're talking about is we are talking about the difference between truth and falsehood. Because what Satan does in our lives is he doesn't try to be better than Jesus. Satan doesn't try to be superior. What Satan does is he tries to replace Jesus in our lives. He tries to be close but not quite. And we're going to see that in Scripture. We're going to see how that happens in our lives today. So let me start by sharing a story. Robert Bennett, in his book Afraid, which we're working off of for this series, he talks about his experience in going to the Birch Run Expo Center, in Birch Run, Michigan. That's not too far from here, by the way. It's just north of Flint, Michigan. It's about a three-hour drive. And he goes there to observe the annual Psychic Expo. He said it was much like attending a country fair, or maybe any other number of other conventions that focus on ordinary things. There was a section marked off for vendors to sell their goods and services. You know, there was a stage where presentations could be given. But here, you know, instead of ordinary sort of stuff, the presentations had titles like Tarot for Fun, or Teaching Numerology, or Communicating with Angels. And the vendors in their stalls, aside from the more typical stuff you'd find at any county fair, they were selling books and crystals, health remedies, and many items related to spiritism or witchcraft. And here the real attraction was not just the presenters up on the stage speaking, not just the vendors with their stalls where you could buy lots of things. Here the main attraction were the mediums, the psychics, the people who would set up shop and offer spiritual knowledge to anyone who came. They would offer spiritual enlightenment, things like hypnosis, aura readings, and other mystical services. And for the people who attended, and for the people who were waiting in line for these services, sometimes for quite a while, they were looking for healing. They were looking for freedom from spiritual oppression. They were looking for help with whatever sort of problems in life they may have had that drove them to this place. Now, you might think of spiritists and mediums as kind of a fringe thing, right? You think, who does that? But in fact, a 2015 survey by the Pew Research Center tells us that 15% of Americans at some time in their life have consulted a medium or spiritist. In fact, I was researching this online, and I saw that not too long from now, about a month and a half from now, there will be a psychic expo right here in Fort Wayne at our own Grand Wayne Center downtown. Don't go, okay? Don't go. You know, this is really not a fringe belief or a fringe practice in our society, but it's there. And in fact, it's dangerous. We're going to see why. So let's look at our scripture reading for today from the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. And here Paul is speaking directly to the Corinthians because they have begun to listen to some other teachers, people who have come in and they're talking about something else. And these other teachers are preaching the gospel of what I like to call Jesus Plus. So let's read. Paul says in verses 3 and 4, he says, I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. He says, you're listening, and that's not good. And because here we see the strategy of Satan. You know, Paul is not concerned that the Corinthians will be drawn away from Jesus and towards maybe the worship of Aphrodite or Apollo or one of the other popular Greek gods in the city of Corinth. Paul's concern is that the Christians are putting up with people who are preaching a different Jesus from the Jesus who sent Paul on his mission. Paul's concern is that someone is talking about a different spirit from the Holy Spirit which they had received. Paul's concern is that someone is preaching a gospel, but it's not the gospel. And this is Satan's strategy. You know, he's not upfront about what he's doing in our world. Satan is not trying to really, encourage people to really consider. Think about it. What does Apollo offer you? Maybe that Greek god. And what does Jesus offer you? Think about it and then make a decision with your eyes open. That's not what he's doing. Satan is working through lies and deception. Satan's messengers, the one who are spreading this message, they're talking about Jesus, just not quite the way that Jesus presented himself. They're talking about a different Jesus. So how is their Jesus different? Well, we can begin to get a picture from the next few verses. Paul says in verse 5, I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. If I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We've made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? So two things are going on here. Paul says, first, I'm not inferior to them. I'm not any worse than those super apostles who were coming in. He says, I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. And so these false teachers are apparently claiming that they are somehow better than Paul. They speak more eloquently. They captivate the crowd with their stories, their claims, and their promises. They claim they're better than, hey, that dumb old Paul. He may be an apostle, but they are apostles plus. And apparently they claim also that, hey, you get what you pay for. Paul is giving away his teaching. How much can it be worth to you, they say. But these apostles plus were charging. If you have to pay to hear them, they must have something really, really good to say. They must be the real deal. And Paul says, no, it's not like that at all. Verse 9, he says, when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I don't love you? No, because God knows I do. And so Paul says he preaches for free not because his preaching isn't worth anything. Paul preaches for free because he wants nothing to come between his message and his hearers. It's that important to him. Paul preaches for free because he doesn't want to burden those Corinthians. And in fact, Paul is boasting about this fact. And he knows some people might see that as unseemly, so he says, nobody in this region is going to stop me. And why do I boast? Is it because I don't love you? Because I'm better than you somehow? That's a rhetorical question. No, the answer, God knows I do. God knows I love you. And so Paul is defending himself and his conduct because that conduct flows from a genuine love for the Corinthians. And that love flows from the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves each of us so much that he would send his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross and to forgive our sins. And you and I, we are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. And we are delivered from the power of sin, death, and the devil. That's Jesus, right? Jesus is humble. Jesus makes himself weak. Jesus is crucified, and yet it's in Jesus' weakness that God's power is shown. But just as these false teachers have set themselves up as apostles plus, they also taught the people about Jesus plus. They talked about a Jesus who shared the same name as the real one. They talked about a Jesus who did some of the same things as the real one and said some of the same things as the real one. But these super apostles teaching Jesus plus, they said, well, Jesus plus offers more in terms of this worldly life than and demands less from you. You know, we know from elsewhere in this letter to the Corinthians that the Corinthian Christians struggled with a lot of things. They struggled with the fact of enduring persecution, that they didn't fit in altogether with the rest of Greek society. So, you know, Jesus plus probably would have gotten along with Apollo and those other Greek gods rather than teaching people to follow Christ alone as the real Jesus did. We know that the Corinthians struggled with the fact of physical weakness and infirmity. So Jesus Plus probably would have promised physical health and wellness right here, right now, rather than admitting the fact of suffering in this world and promising eternal life in the new creation. We know that the Apostles Plus, they looked down on the suffering and hardship that Paul endured as a true apostle of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Plus probably was offering worldly wealth and respect. Jesus Plus looked a lot like Jesus. Jesus Plus gave commands that were a little easier to follow. Jesus Plus demanded a little bit less, and Jesus Plus offered a little bit more. But here's the great big problem and danger that comes from Jesus Plus, is that Jesus Plus is not Jesus at all. And those Apostles Plus aren't real apostles at all. Here's what Paul says in verse 12. I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading, and that is pretending, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then that his servants it's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Those are hard words, but Paul is sharing the gravity of the situation. What Satan was doing among the Corinthian Christians was the exact same thing that the serpent said to Adam way back in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? The serpent offered Adam and Eve a vision of God that was almost but not quite the truth. And when Adam and Eve bought into Satan's vision instead of the clear word that God had given them, well, then came sin. Then came death. Then came suffering and hardship and all kinds of evil. Satan's most effective lies ever, and certainly the ones that we see believed all around our society today, is the lie that I'm just as good as Jesus. It's the lie that I'm totally compatible with that guy. It's the lie that you don't need to make a choice between us. You know what? You can have it all. Satan doesn't try to make us believe he's better than Jesus. Satan doesn't try to have us think things through clearly and make a choice between Jesus and anything else. Satan tries to have us believe that we can have Jesus just a little different from the Jesus we see in Scripture. After all, Jesus in Scripture can sometimes be demanding. Sometimes he can even be scary. He requires us to obey his commands. He tells us how he is not compatible with the world's desires. Satan would have us follow instead Jesus Plus. Jesus Plus, whatever makes it easier for me to live my life today. Jesus Plus compromises with other beliefs and faiths and says it doesn't really matter what you believe or who you follow. Jesus Plus says, hey, we're all human, so who are we to insist there's only one right way to know God? Who are we to say there's only one way to live rightly? But Jesus Plus is not Jesus. Jesus Plus is demonic. Robert Bennett, he went on to describe that psychic expo and the surprising ways that the mediums and spiritists there would portray themselves as compatible with Jesus. He talked about the surprising lengths they would go to kind of lend legitimacy to their practice, to say we're just as good. In fact, many of the mediums and spiritists at the expo carried the title Reverend because, in fact, they had attended a spiritualist seminary that's located here in our own state of Indiana. The mediums and spiritists in their presentations and their literature, they would proclaim that they were there to offer good news. They would even have their own church summer camps you could send your kids to. So why would they do all these things? It's to look more like the real deal. To pretend in some ways to be the true church. To make those differences between them and Jesus as small as possible. But in fact, they're offering the same old Jesus Plus that Paul dealt with in Corinth. They've got the same old offer that you can have more today and they'll demand less. After all, they're not asking for faithfulness and obedience. They're just asking for a small cover charge to enter the expo. The lesson for us today is the same lesson as it was for the Corinthians. Jesus Plus is no Jesus at all. Apostles Plus are no apostles at all. They are servants of Satan, masquerading as servants of righteousness. So if someone wants to tell you about a Jesus that doesn't match the one you find in your Bible, don't listen to them. If someone wants you to have a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit that you have already received in your baptism, stay away from them. If someone is sharing a gospel that's not the gospel, don't believe them. And instead, trust in Jesus. Instead, trust in the one who gave his life for you so that you might live and live it to the full. Trust in the one who forgives you and draws you close to God in heaven through his own work. Trust the one without a cover charge, all right? Martin Luther said, wherever God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel close by. He's saying Satan does not tempt us with things, most of the time with things that are greatly and obviously wrong. Satan tempts us with things that are just a little bit off, just a little bit compromised, just a little different Jesus, and that's why he's dangerous. So, to close, here's a great way to recognize truth and falsehood. You may have heard this before. There's the great motto of the Reformation. You may have heard this before, like I said, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. And that is because in that day, what they were arguing for is the fact that we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ, whom we can surely know today through God's word alone in scripture. So grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Keep those words in your mind and you won't go wrong. So if someone suggests something like a spiritual healing or a practice that is not about God's grace given to you through Jesus Christ, well, and it's about crystals or spirits or some other thing, then stay away, because that is not grace alone. If someone suggests that you've got to work, or you've even got to pay, or you've got to do something in order to make your spiritual life right other than knowing Jesus, then stay away, because that is not faith alone in Jesus Christ. If someone suggests to you that, hey, the Bible is good, but maybe we need something else, another book, a personal revelation, a session talking to some spirits to know real truth, well, stay away, because that is not scripture alone. They're not following Jesus. They're following Jesus plus. She okay? Okay, I'm glad. That's all right. And Jesus plus will not save you. But we follow Jesus. And Jesus gives us his love. He gives us his life. And he gives us forgiveness without reservation, without charge. He is our mighty fortress who defends us from Satan and all evil. And his protection is freely given and surely received. Amen.